Meanwhile, the secretary of that same council, Monsignor Paul Tai, has just returned from a visit to India, where he attended a seminar on the role of new media and communications in seminary formation. The four-day meeting in Calcutta, which included talks as well as practical training sessions, began with a mass at the tomb of Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta, an unlikely yet appropriate icon for the world of communications, as Monsignor Tai explains.
That was fascinating because it was on the feast day of St. Francis of Assisi. And as I was waiting to go and celebrate Mass, I was brought to the parlour where Mother Teresa would have met visitors. And there was the prayer of St. Francis, "Make me an instrument of your peace." So obviously there was this clear thing. But then as I was trying to reflect on it with the people who were there, it kind of struck me all sorts of important symmetries. But one maybe strange coincidence is St. Francis is synonymous with Assisi. Mother Teresa is synonymous with Calcutta. Two more different cities or towns you cannot imagine. You go to Assisi, I go and I bring friends, and I bring some of my more cynical Irish friends, and they never fail to be touched. There's something about the beauty of the place and the silence and the peace of the place that touches even the more cynical Irish hearts and speaks of God to them. Then you have Mother Teresa in a city that is hot, noisy, smelly, overpopulated, poor in a very rough way, and she could find God and God's beauty in some of the most difficult circumstances. So I found myself reflecting on, we sometimes romanticize St. Francis, and the truth is there was a difficult dimension to his life, there was a struggle, there was the stigmata, but we see the beauty very often first. Here was somebody, Mother Teresa, while appreciating fully, clearly in the use of this prayer, her appreciation of St. Francis, but her ability to find God in far less fertile circumstances. And for me, it was just a reminder that God is always there to be found, and God is always there to bless us through his presence in different situations. And then again, particularly in a context when you're talking about communications, I mean, Mother Teresa of Calcutta is somebody who communicated the church maybe more powerfully than many other people, not by words, but by the way she lived her life. Sometimes the simplicity of her own words also was very powerful, her impact. You know, one of these icons, and maybe we have to appreciate precisely Mother Teresa as a model for the communicator.
What else can you tell us about the goals of this meeting in India?
It involved a gathering of seminarians from different seminaries around India, exploring the role of formation in pastoral communications in the life of a seminary, in the preparation of future priests and various pastoral leaders. This follows up on an initiative launched about 2 years ago by Archbishop Chelli, which is that the Indian Bishops Conference have prepared a series of three books, textbooks that take students and seminarians through the issues of communication. So ensuring that there's a kind of a clear place for communications within the seminary curriculum. And this seminar, this convention, was really a chance to meet with the students and to talk with them about how they see the importance of communications in their preparation for future ministry. So a little bit it focused on the particular curriculum, how they develop the skills and the capacities, particularly to use the new technologies and, more importantly, the new social media platforms that are existing in order to be effective communicators of the gospel and of the reality of the life of the church. But also it led to a very interesting discussion about the role of the internet and new media in the life of the seminary, or as I found myself saying, it's not so much about the place of the internet in the life of the seminary, it's about the place of the seminary in a digital world, because it's hugely changing all the dimensions of how we learn, how we communicate, how we think, how we reflect, and therefore I think it has a particular challenge also for those who are involved in seminaries. And the challenge is double, because very often the students will be much more expert in the actual use of the technologies and more familiar with those technologies and by maybe extension more inserted in the digital culture than their superiors. And we propose that the part of that means that the model has to be very much a dialogical one. I mean, those of us who are a bit older have certain appreciations of what communications is about, and that is not just about technology, and it's not just about the volume of communications. So a lot of the discussion was around those issues. So questions about how much access should people have to the internet, how much time, what are the risks of getting kind of distracted. So in many ways, we were probably rehearsing also some of the issues that we hope to explore. We're looking forward to hearing the Pope's message for next year, which will be talking about the role of silence and the word. Not that, I mean, silence has always been essential to communications. We can't listen without a certain degree of silence. We punctuate our words with silence, so silence is integral to communication. So in a digital environment, it's also silence is there as the place where we integrate all the information we're getting. And as we become more and more overloaded with information, with stimulus, with facts, with comments, one of the things we need to do is be able to step aside and ensure that we're processing, we're filtering it, we're judging it, and that we're in charge of the process. And these are the skills that the students wanted to talk about. And again, equally a very interesting thing emerged is, you know, silence doesn't have to happen offline. There are kind of mediated silences that can happen through the use of the new technologies, and some of the students were reflecting on how there are tremendously valuable assets available, such as guided reflections on meditation of the Gospels, with stimulus, with ideas, with images, with music. And so it was a very interesting seminar. It was also, for me, a way of confronting the reality of the life of the church in India. At one level, we're very conscious of India as a very privileged place in the forefront of the digital revolution and the extraordinary communication. At another time, that's side by side with such absolute poverty. I came across a wonderful description by the author Arundhati Roy, who said, "I'm sitting here at my computer. I have the most up-to-date broadband you can have. I have the advantage of a fiber optic cable. And outside, that cable has been laid by hand by 30 workers who are working by hand without any facility." So you have this extraordinary juxtapositioning of the most cutting-edge technologies hand by hand, side by side with extraordinary poverty. And I think one of the things that we came very strongly was the importance that we ensure whatever strategy we have for communications, as we will want to depend more and more on digital media, that we have to be attentive to inclusiveness, that we don't inadvertently exclude those who are already excluded.
This challenge of the digital divide that you're talking about is perhaps more evident in India than almost anywhere else in the world. What kind of solutions, though, are you offering? How do you try and ensure that people are not excluded in this way in the digital world?
Yeah, we can't offer technical solutions, but they are emerging, thankfully, because as more and more people are moving to smartphones, and smartphones are becoming cheaper and cheaper, and therefore more accessible to a larger section of the community. And the key issue is they're not probably the straight up cost, but it's the package you need to get the data. And those are becoming more reasonable. One of the things that quite impressed me too is the number of places around the cities where there was free Wi-Fi available, for example. So it opens up those possibilities. But for us, it's about a mentality. It's not about a technical. It's about ensuring that, say, even within a community, we might take somebody who has access to the information, that then they have to make that information to available to those who are not online. I mean, I think it's not just exclusively to India, it's across the church, particularly if we reflect honestly. As a church community, very often we have a disproportionate number of older people. And older people often have been that little bit slower to engage with new technologies. So one of the things, even in the first world, I think we have to be very attentive, is there's the temptation to say, well, all the information's on the website. But that's not necessarily going to be available to all our traditional constituency. So I would say one thing is about the technology that is moving on and is helping to render access less costly and more available. The other thing then is, of course, we have to be much more attentive to the other, maybe the soft barriers, like a disinclination to use, lack of literacy, which has always been a problem, but which can become a multiplied problem in this context. So it's about keeping an attentiveness in all we're doing to say, okay, this is faster, it's quicker, it's more economic, but is it actually reaching? And it's just developing awareness and a consciousness and then compensating true human communication for where the digital becomes difficult. One area where that focused on was the area of friendship. It's very easy to make friends online. It's very easy to end friendships online. But most of us know that one of the greatest blessings you can have in your life is a good human friendship. But most of those friendships are friendships that took a lot of time, that required particular types of intimacy at times, and giving it time. Also, many of our best friendships are friendships that where we're willing to risk truth-telling, challenging one another. There are friendships often at times where there's been an element of sacrifice because we've stuck with a friendship when it mightn't have been so easy. And that wisdom wouldn't want to be lost in an environment where maybe the emphasis is more on the quantity rather than the quality of the friendship, and where the actual human engagement, if I'm face-to-face with somebody, there's something there that corrects any tendencies I have. If it's at a distance, it may be a bit easier. So it's about sharing while appreciating the extraordinary potential the new communications have for allowing us to continue friendships that in the past would have been lost because we're at a distance, you don't see the person. At the same time, becoming aware of some of the downside. And the way we tried to character the discussion in Ideally in a Seminary is it's kind of an intergenerational dialogue. And one of the things we would say to seminary superiors is, okay, you have to have rules about use, but explain them. Don't just impose them. Explain them, because these are active students. And one of the documents we focused on was that famous document on seminary formation, Pastoris Darbo Vovis, where there's a very strong passage there where it says the key thing you have to give students is that freedom, that they are mature enough to be able to use things, see the value in them, integrate them into their own lives, and take responsible decisions. So one of the things we found ourselves saying, that the question of internet usage or engagement with social media is not just a question for the external forum, meaning it's not just a question of the rules of the seminary. When is it on? When is the Wi-Fi off? Who can you talk to? Who can you not? But it's actually one for the internal forum, for the individual candidate's discussion with his spiritual director, to say, is this helping me to grow as a person? Is this making me a better, more available, a person who's more available for service? Or could it be something that's actually distracting me from core personal responsibilities?
My thanks there to Monsignor Paul Tai, Secretary of the Pontifical Council for Social Communications.